The whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I too have a list, too, I want to share with you, and a friend of mine sent it to me, and originally I got 50 lists. Because of the time, I don't think I would necessarily read out all the 50 lists of the qualities of mothers and what people appreciate about most of the things that you have shared, but just line up in about 15 lists of why mothers are so important and why we appreciate them. The first one, I wouldn't be here without her. How about that? And she's the glue that holds us all together. I can always get advice from her on home improvements projects. She taught me to stand up for others. She taught me how to make a grilled cheese sandwich. No matter what, she is in my corner. She is so good at shopping for bargains. It's like a superpower. You all know that, right? Right? How about this? Thanks in part to her, I've never poked my eye out with that. I don't know what that means. She prays for me, though I have probably given her too many reasons to pray for me. Her smiles make everything okay. Oh, yeah. She likes everything I post. I suppose that's for Facebook, right? Social media. She's the strongest and most caring woman in the world. One of the best cooks I've ever met. She taught me how to love and respect others. And this one I just added on. She gave me her major credit cards and say, "Go ahead, make my day." Well, no, Naomi and Ruth. What about them? Naomi and Ruth. Well, this book is written in a time in history of Israel when they had no king. In fact, the Judges 17:6 said, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. In this rhyme of history, in this moment of history, we're introduced with these two women in particular, Naomi and Ruth. What about them? When this story began out something like this, turn, turn, and turn. First, they didn't have anything. Well, not so for Ruth, but Naomi had a husband and two sons. But the land they lived in, Bethlehem, had nothing, no food and famine, and so they had to leave Bethlehem in search for food, and where they went to Moab. So that's the first turn for Naomi. Then what happened to Naomi? Well, it's turning away. In the land of Moab, her husband died and her two sons died. So three deaths in her family. Three tragedies. Oh, unthinkable to bury your husband and your two sons. Well, think about her life, Naomi. From one turn to the next, and then now she had nothing. You and I may know someone like that. And I have heard of a woman named Mary Jenkins, who came over from Scotland many years ago, real true story, with her three children at the age of 33. Because her husband was killed tragically in a mining accident. So she came over to the United States and arrived here in New England from Scotland. And when she got here, she had nothing. So she turned to her family, relatives for help, and they couldn't help her either, for they did not have the proper documents or resources to help her out. And you know what happened? Grace happened. There is a church in Massachusetts called Grace Episcopal Church that said, Sister Mary Jenkins, you are one of us. You are the body of Christ. And we want to embrace you. We want to walk with you in your journey. Become a part of us. So they encouraged her, they embraced her, they helped her. And you know what Mary Jenkins did? She accepted that love. She embraced that welcome. And she became part of that community. And she started a service station with the help and the guidance of the support of the church and community. And not only she supported her three children, she taught them the love of God, the grace of God, the faithfulness of God. And men and women, I want to tell you that that loyalty, that faithfulness to God in her life and receiving God's grace, God's unconditional grace in spite of her circumstances and willing to say, Lord, I don't know my circumstances, my trials. I don't know why I am going through this, but I will trust in you alone and I will follow you and I will accept whatever it comes. And she accepted that. And because of her faithfulness, her families, her children received that God's love and the blessings of knowing the love of God. And that blessing continued. And men and women, I want to share with you how exciting that is to say that one of our very own members is the daughter, the granddaughter of Mary Jenkins, which I will not mention to you today. It is going to be your job to figure out that part. It's all fun part. It's all about the getting to know you status of our church life. And that's the faithfulness of the Lord. And I'm telling about our own story here. God's living presence, the reality of God, is demonstrated in the life of individual. It may not be on the biggest battlefield out there in the world when you go to places like all the hardest, most persecuted areas in which, well, I want to shine for the Lord and I want to profess my faith and proclaim the Lord and be in the area in which it's so difficult to be a Christian. And that too, God honor that kind of shining for God. But in this particular story of Mary Jenkins, it's about living her life day by day, moment by moment, knowing that in spite of all things, trials, difficulties, challenges, that God is at work. His plan is perfect. But it's hard to understand it. See, it's hard for Naomi and Ruth to get that. First, Naomi got everything, it seemed. She got her husband and she got two sons. In those days, in that standard, she got everything. But then the Lord took that away. No husband, no sons. And it's like saying, what am I going to do, right? She lost everything. And it happened that she lived in a foreign land. And the sons, before they passed away, they married, and she inherited two daughters-in-law. And one of them is named Ruth. Now, that's interesting about Ruth. We didn't hear much about Ruth until much, much later in the chapter 2 and 3 and 4, when the story turned out to be good. But then it all stopped until New Testament comes in Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bible, would you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 1? So it will not be on the screen, but it's in the New Testament. And we're just going to look at briefly the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Bible will be on the pew rack underneath your cushion. Or the little pockets here underneath the seats. And you can turn to Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy of Jesus, the family line of Jesus is listed there. And there are five women. Matthew included five women in this text. And some of them are questionable, ethnically and ethically. One of them being on verse 3 of Matthew chapter 1. That is Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. And that's one woman. And on verse 5, if you look at chapter 1, verse 5, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Does anybody know who Rahab is? Yes, Barbara, who's Rahab? Right. And she's listed as the genealogy in the genealogy of Jesus. Going down there. And now we have our Ruth appears right here in verse 3. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was who? Ruth. And that's the three women so far. And then going down there on verse 6. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Do you know the name of Uriah's wife? It starts with B. Bathsheba. Isn't that interesting? That in the family of Jesus, in the genealogy of Jesus, of course, Mary is listed there on verse 15 down. And Jacob, verse 16, and Jacob and the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So Mary is along these five women that Matthew included in the gospel as he introduced the line of Jesus. But isn't it interesting that looking at the family, the genealogy of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in the human line, that you would have Tamar, we would have Rahab, we will have Ruth and Bathsheba. Once again, let's think about this. Ruth is included in here too, but Ruth is not a Jewish, is she? It's a Moabite. Well, what does this say about our God and Savior? What does this say about God's plan in all this? That God, His love, His perfect plan include all of us. Amen to that. It includes you. It includes you and me and the world, everyone else. And His plan is perfect. That even if we don't know what God is doing and how God works in our life, we can trust Him to know that He will carry us through. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, what does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's got to be difficult for Naomi to understand. To get that God's plan is to prosper her and to give her a future, and yet she lost her husband and she lost her two sons. How could that be a prosperous plan, correct? We would be thinking about that. She would have been thinking. In fact, she thought about it. And later on, in going down in verse chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, her turning of her life into turning into bitterness. It said, God had turned His back on me. And Naomi sincerely expressed that. And yet, the faithfulness of God, God's living presence, was all along with Naomi. It's not because Naomi was good and faithful to God. Well, comparing to all the people in her society, yes, she was. Naomi and Ruth were the two who were loyal to God, who were faithful to God no matter what. But as Romans 3:23 described, for all have sins are false shorts of the glory of God. Naomi and Ruth are sinners just like us. And yet they received the faithfulness of God and they have experienced God's living presence in their life. Why? In their lives. Why? Because our God, the God who never changes, our God who is always faithful, His love has no boundary, no limits. Nothing can separate us from that love. Romans 8, 38, 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39 says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creations will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know, not we hope, not it might be, but for we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you know that it's interesting to read that in that verse in particular, it doesn't say, we know that for all things, tragedies, death, difficulties, sickness, cancer of all kinds, they are not good, they are bad. But this verse is saying, in all things, in all those circumstances, God works for the good of those, what? Who love him. Naomi and Ruth loved God. Naomi was loyal to God, faithful to God, and she obeyed God. And that became her legacy and her example, her living example to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who is the great-great-great-great-grandmother of our Lord and Jesus, the great-grandmother of David, the king of Israel, in the line in which our Lord Jesus came. And Ruth became to know the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God by watching and following the examples of who? Her mother-in-law, Naomi. Look at Ruth's statements in verse 1, 16 and 19. And she said, I will, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Seeking after God's own heart. Women of faith. Mother's wife. It's also interesting that when God called people, he promised that he will bless them and multiply the blessing. Remember the story of Abraham? When he left the land, he had everything. He had people, family, possessions. And in fact, God still multiplied that. But not so in this case with Ruth and Naomi. God called them. God loved them. And yet, they lost everything. But their faith remained. And if you look down at that chapter of Ruth and walking down, just studying down the chapter 2 and chapter 3, not until chapter 4. God's plans wasn't clearly revealed in their lives. They had to figure it out. They had to plan for it. They sort of had to go after with their own plans. Not until chapter 4 of Ruth, where the whole plans, the perfect plan of God revealed. But they had to remain faithful in spite of the known and the unknown in their lives. They had to keep looking out for the signs. They had to keep searching in faith, in love, in loyalty and faithfulness. I've told you enough story about my own journey in coming to Christ in faith, and I will tell you more and more as we go along. But looking out for sign when the known and the unknown in life is a big part of my life. That's how I grew up. I grew up knowing the Lord, loving the Lord through the teaching of my grandparents and my mother and reading scriptures and going to church, learning about songs, hymns, and fellowshipping with Christians and serving the Lord. But one thing that my mother taught me about when how to do and what to do when you come into the known and unknown situations, when you can figure out what God is doing, as silly as it is, and I don't want you all to be freaking out, as they call it. I hope that's the right word that I use. All right? My mother said, all right, you pray enough. you read the scripture, and you went to church, and you try to obey God as much as possible, and you still want to know what God's plan is. And my mother said, look out. Look out for the God winks. You know what those are, God winks. Look out for those signs, those little signals God is telling you. God still works miracles, you know. God still performs. God is above the natural things. So my mother said, you know, just look out and pay attention. So before coming to this church, the search team was looking at online and look at my handsome, tall, intelligent IQ and all that, and they go, yuppie, that's the one. All right? That's half truth, by the way. The first thing was when it came to the final stage of the search that I would be preaching in a church in Massachusetts where only the search team will be there because you aren't born that time, Ian. I'm kidding. But you weren't in the process of that information, sharing information yet. Only the search team came. And I knew that this could be it. If I made it through, I probably would make the next steps. And I read my scripture. I prayed about it. And I was convinced that the Lord is leading me to New England, particularly to spend time with the most beautiful congregation in Windham, New Hampshire. All right? But there's the stillness of, Lord, is it really me? Or is it really the plan? So I was asking with that sign as my mother encouraged me, the known and the unknown. And I said, Lord, if it's really me and I'm supposed to go up to Massachusetts to preach with this trial preaching or neutral pulpit preaching, I'm telling you the truth. I literally pray for this prayer. I said, Lord, show me the sign. Show me the sign. I read my scripture. I read his word. But I still don't know. There is this direction out there, and Lord, I need to know. And so it was a cold day, a rainy day in December, around December 5th of last year. It turned out that I was coming home from giving somebody a ride, and just before coming to a traffic red light stops, I was on the right lane. And for right after saying that prayer, Lord, if you want me to go to Massachusetts this weekend to preach, show me the sign. Right after that prayer, you know what happened? A car pulled right in front of me at that red stop, the red light stop sign. And I was so ticked because I almost get an accident. I didn't say the bad words. I had the bad thoughts. All right? You all know what it means. Lord bless this driver with a big brick, something like that. And the car stopped right in front of that traffic light. And I was so upset and perhaps almost shaking. I didn't press the honk. And my eye caught the license plate, and it said, New Hampshire, live free or die. True story. Then I came over to Massachusetts. I did my trial preaching, and I did okay. But I cry and say, if you don't elect me, I would go hungry, and I plead. And the search team said, okay, let's just let him in. So you call me for the voting in February, correct? Now, I'm not going to keep you long with this story, but then again, one thing after another, the second it's unclear, because you all could have said no, and I would all be embarrassed, the least to say. So before coming for that weekend, one more time, I said, Lord, if it's really me, and if you really want me to come, one more sign. It was a cold, snowy, wet rain. And I was having my little daughter in the car. We went to the biggest mall called King of Prussia Mall in Pennsylvania. Coming out of the parking lot, and I said, Lord, they said New Hampshire is cold, colder, and they have a lot of snows, like 70 inches. If it's really me, one more sign. Right out of coming out of the mall parking lot, another car cut me off just to get out the exit of the mall parking lot. And I said, the last time I look at the license plate, I saw New Hampshire, live free or die. I do not want to see New Hampshire license plate. I'm going to look somewhere else. And sure enough, my eye caught in the corner of that bumper stickers, and it said word by word, WPC. I tell you that I share this with you Not to say that God works in all those superstitious or what do you call in a nonsense way that God always spells out things like, well, a letter out there, a letter here and there. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that God can do anything. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Remember this, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. He will do whatever it takes for you to know that He loves you. He loves your family. He loves your children. He loves your parents. He loves you. God will do anything to show you that love in spite of your circumstances, our trials, our tragedies. Trust in Him. Hold on to Him. Naomi and Ruth did. Look what happened. They didn't see it through. They didn't have all the plans. But step by step, God guided them through. God led them with His love, with His grace. Faith and hope is what guided them through. But their love for God, faithfulness to God, but more importantly, God's faithfulness to them is what count at the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 said, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God's love that has no end, no boundary, no time limits. So your life, your trials, your tragedies, our God, His unending love, and His salvation. Think about that. Think about Naomi and Ruth. Think about God's faithfulness and His love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, it's true that, friends,